Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth.
I'm in 2 Samuel, chapter number 24. I'll begin reading in verse 17, and my reading is very lengthy, and I pray this will be a blessing to you. Here's the reality this morning. You are investing in something. You're putting your time, your effort, your family. You are investing in something today. I want to try to preach this morning on heavenly investments. Heavenly investments. 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 17. If you found that, shout amen for me. Amen. Sounds like you're there. I hear pages turning. Verse 17, and David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? God often judges nations by wicked leadership. It starts at the top and works its way down. Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. We're going to show you something right there in just a second. And Gad came that day to David, and he said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arona, the Jebusite. Now, I preached on them not long ago. Isn't it amazing? David overtook them, but here's one still hanging around. David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Arona looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Arona went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Arona said, Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee. To build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arona said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Arona as a king give unto the king. And Arona said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Arona, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Father, we love you, and I thank you for this good day and for the chance to be behind this desk once again. And I can't do a thing on my own, Lord. I am inept and unable. I need your hand and your power. I need you to clear my mind. I need you to fill my mouth and guard my tongue. I need you to keep me inside the bounds of the book and help me be accurate in the scripture. And God, I'm asking that this would touch the hearts of your people today. Lord, we didn't come to put on a show or be seen of men, certainly not to be recognized of anyone. But I've come to lift your name. And I've come to be a help to your people. Touch me in this, Lord. Hear me today. I'm praying, God, you'd be pleased with what we're offering. And I'm asking it in the name of the King, Jesus, I pray. Amen. And amen. This is toward the end of David's reign. I think the greatest sin in David's life, many would say Bathsheba, I disagree. I think the greatest sin in David's life was numbering the people. It's for certain that David David was a man that, like you and me, he had problem with sin. But he was a man after God's own heart. He was God's anointed man. There's no question about it that David loved the Lord. David's the man who said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." David is the man that said, "I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplications." David was God's man. David was God's king. God chose David. There's no doubt about it. Even in his imperfection, he was God's man. Something we see here, David was concerned about getting the plague stayed from the people. He was sorry that he numbered the people. Something rose up in him. He said, "I want to know how many I got." Do you know that's why I quit counting the people inside these walls? I don't count Sunday school. We don't count the congregation. My wife told me one time, said, "Mike, you come out of your prayer room, you walk past that board, you look at the number, and if Sunday school number is down, your countenance falls." I said, "I'll not count them anymore." I found where God said, "Don't you count the Levites, I'll count them, because it's a number no man can number. You don't know how many you've got, but you got how many I gave you." David's problem was, pride rose up in him, and he said, "I want to see how many we got." Pride's the original sin. It's the problem. It is the chief cause of contention in the world today. It all stems from pride. David here, he wants the plague stayed. He wants it to stop. He wants it taken from the people. So what happens? Well, we see what David does in verse 17. David confesses. David confesses before the Lord. You know why he's a man after God's own heart? Because he was quick to confess that it was him that was the problem. When Nathan come to him and said, "Thou art the man," David could have said, "Cut his head off." And they would have cut Nathan's head off. But you know what David said? "That's me. I'm the man. The problem's not with him. Hey, the problem's with old David." And he was quick to confess. You know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what needs to take off in the lives of the people across America today? Confession. You know what we need to do? Fall down and say, "God, I've lied, I've stolen, I've cheated, I've lust, I've coveted, I've done all, I'm prideful," and just tell God what's wrong with you. It's easy to say, "Lord, I have sinned." But it's hard to kneel down and say, "God, I told a lie today. I am a liar." You know what David said? "I'm guilty, Lord. I've done it. It's my fault. I shouldn't have counted the people. Don't hurt my sheep." First thing we see about David was his confession. The next thing we see is this. He follows the command of the Lord. Do you know what he was? He was a doer of the word, James 1:22. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." David heard the word from the man of God, and David done what he said. He said, "You're going to have to do something about what you've done." And David followed the command of God. You know, it's easy to follow him after confession. And you don't need to confess to me or any other person. It's God you got an issue with. If there's something in your heart this morning, you're harboring hard-heartedness, feelings, bitterness, envy, strife, any of these things, you've got that in your heart against someone here or someone outside these walls, you've got a boss that you can't stand, you've got an issue at work you can't resolve, you've got all these problems, you know what you need to do? Get in there and confess it to God and watch him take care of it. He can't fix it until you tell him. If we confess. David follows the command, the word of God. We see the confession, we see the command, we see the compliance of David. It's one thing to get the command, it's another thing to comply. You know the one thing your doctor can fire you over? Non-compliance. He told you what to do, he gave you the medicine, and you just would not do it. Did you know that James said, faith without works is dead. You got to do something with it. We're not saved by works, but we work because we're saved. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You can't work out mine. I can't work out yours. Are you still with me? I'm talking about heavenly investments. Said, don't sound like too much to me. Oh, this is how investing starts right here. It starts with confession. It starts with following the command of God and then complying with the word or that command that's been given. And number four, you'll find this in the last verse of this chapter. David said, I'm not going to take it for nothing. And you see the consequence of David following what the Lord had told him to do. What happened? The plague stayed. The sin issues dealt with. It's done. You know where this place was that David bought, don't you? Way on down the road from here, there's going to be a cross hung on a hill. And the very Lamb of God's going to be on that cross. And the plague is stayed. Do you know what it is? People won't accept what's been done. A multitude within the world is too busy investing. There's nothing wrong with investing in things that's not sin. God left us all things to enjoy. He gave us this world. He didn't give the river down there just for the lost man. That's my river too. My daddy owns it. Hey, listen. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And the old preacher said the tater's under the cattle. It's all his and the fullness thereof. It's the Lord's. He's left that. We are investing. Nothing wrong with him. But are we making heavenly investments? Stay with me just a minute. So I was hoping Brother Matt Dukes would be here today because he could have given me some amens behind this. I don't see him sitting here. So, but now I thought I'd call Marcus, but he just sells the insurance. He wasn't no help. I need the banker. I just pulled it up myself. You can Google yourself sometime. That'll scare you to death. So I opened this up. You know what happened? You know what happened? You know what David done here? He established some heavenly investments. First, the plague was stayed. God stopped the angel from slaying any more people. Done. But 20 years from now, David's son's going to be reigning. David's at the end of his reign. This thing's over for David. He's going the way of all the earth. He's going to die. David's not afraid to die. And David wants to set it up. You see, David knew that the Messiah hadn't sat on the throne yet. But one of these days he is going to. And David's wanting to set this up for his people, his children, and his people after him. I would to God that America, our forefathers, had a knowledge and an understanding of setting something up to come after them. It wasn't for their benefit. Do you know those guys that signed that Declaration of Independence? Most of them lost everything they had. It cost them everything they had that we could stand here today in freedom and preach the Word of God. And we got people that are imbeciles out there trying to tear down what is historical in this land. Were some of the things they done wrong? You better know they were wrong. But you know what the monuments of? They're a reminder of, let's don't go back to this. This is where we were, and we can do better than that. That's not popular preaching today, and it's a little different view than a multitude of people have got, but I think it's scriptural. I'll get into another message if I'm not careful. He was making heavenly investments for something ahead of him. 1 Kings 11, 1 Kings 15, 2 Kings chapter 8. Here's what you're going to find in that. The Lord said, and for my servant David's sake, I'm not going to rend the kingdom out of your hand, and I'm going to leave a light here, and I'm going to leave this light. I'm going to leave this light for my servant David's sake. Why would he do that? Why would he leave that light for that man's sake? Because David made some heavenly investments. David could have walked in there. He could have rode up. He could have took this place. And Arona could have not done anything about it. He's a Jebusite. Listen, he's not even of the children of Israel, but he was in the place. Look, it was the place. David bought the place, but Jesus paid the price. He paid the price. Stay with me just a moment. This morning, listen. In order for me to invest, now I'm going to use some modern day terms, and it's semi-accurate. The scripture is exactly accurate, but my terms might be off just a little, but you'll get the picture. If I'm going to make an investment, if I go down here and I say, I want to invest something, you know what I've got to do? An account has to be opened. I can't invest one thing in any until I open an account. That account has to be opened. You know what we got folks trying to do throughout the world today? They're trying to invest in a company in which they don't have an account. If I was to pull up down here at Jones or one of these other, J.P. Morgan, one of these other institutes of investing, and I rolled in there and I'd say, Hey, I want to invest something. You know what they'll say, Jimmy? Do you have an account? And I'd say, well, no. They'd say, well, you've got to do that first. And I'd say, well, how do you do that? And they'd say, how much do you have to invest? And I would say, I don't have anything to invest. And they would say, you're not opening an account. I'm talking about a different kind of account. I'm talking when I show up and say, I need to open an account. He says this, no deposit necessary. I've already paid the price. You don't need to do anything but show up and say, that's the account I need. If I'm going to put anything in it, I need you to put me in you. That's what I don't have anything to offer. Hey, I'm not worth anything. I don't owe much. He'll say, I don't need none of that. I just want you, and I'll open you an account. People are trying to invest in an account that they don't have open. Churches sit full of lost people around this world today. They don't a bit more know Jesus than the proverbial man in the moon. And so everything they're doing or trying to do, it comes to naught. It doesn't benefit them or anyone else. Why? Because they don't have an account. You've got to have one. You open this up by being born again. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. It's not a suggestion, friend. It's a commandment. Ye must be born again. David followed that. David knew the Lord. Do you know the Lord? Do you have an account with the Lord? Have you opened up an account? All you got to do is come to him. Amen. My Uncle Al Ledbetter said, don't cost you. Salvation's free, but it'll cost you the world. That's what you say. I'm not going to open an account. Here's what I'm going to do. If I'm going to open an account somewhere, I'm going to research these people to see if they'll do what they say they'll do. I want to see what kind of company it is. If I may, you know what I'd call this company? Holy Trinity. That's what I'd call it. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you? He's worth investing in. How long's this? Hey, listen. How long's this firm been around? How long have they been making investments?
he's older than J.G. Wentworth. Hey, listen, he's older than Charles Schwab. He's been around a lot longer than any banking institution that we know of today. He's been taking investments from people since the beginning of time, and he'll take one from you today. Let me tell you, I've researched the company, and he'll do exactly what he said he'd do. Guaranteed.
Wanda was here at the memorial service yesterday, Sister Wanda. And she asked me, she said, "Do you think it'd be safe if I come?" I said, "Wanda, you've been tested. You're negative. You've been away from people for nearly 2 weeks. I think you're safe." And she came in. And I'm not trying to disclose anything that she had told me in confidence, but I'm just going to tell you, funerals are expensive. You'll find out one day. Some of you know all too well. And she come up to me and she said, "Brother Mike," she said, "the VA come through for me. Because they determined that Clyde's breathing was part of his death, the reason he died. You know what was essential? If that didn't say that on that death certificate, you know how much money she got? Zero. But you know what they determined? They determined that it was a pulmonary issue, and therefore, from his VA disability, they need to kick in on it. And I'm not going to tell you what all transpired. I'm just going to tell you, Wanda's going to be all right." Isn't that just like God? You know why? You know why? She's invested in the right company. That's why. I said, "Wanda, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." She just started crying. She said, "Amen to that." Research the company. Are you still with me? Have you opened that account? Are you making investments into that account? Watch this. Watch this. The deposit isn't necessary. You just come to him. He'll open it up. And it's not a limited number. Here's who I am. This is what I am. I'm a whosoever guy. You can't talk me out of that. I'm whosoever. You have to tear Romans out of the book. If you tore it out, I'd still have other scripture. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I can't find a limited number for that. I'm saying it's a whosoever salvation. Now, everyone doesn't agree with that. But you know what? I'm afraid a lot of them don't have an open account. Yep. You still with me? An account was opened. Is yours open today? Are you making those investments like David? So it didn't pan out too well for David. Oh, yes, it did. Oh, yes, it did. There's a man named Jesus, and his mother's out of that very lineage. I'd say it panned out pretty good. Number two. Number one, an account has to be open. Number two, listen, you need to understand the available options. Do you know what they're going to, when you go into one of these investment places, what I read yesterday was they've got all these different options that's available unto you. You can do it this way or you can do it that way. Say, "Well, now, there's just one way." No, there's one way to get an account opened. Jesus. There's only one way to heaven. Not many ways, one way. Jesus said, "I am the way." Hey, there is no other way. It's Christ or no way. It's heaven through Christ or it's hell without him. That's the way it is. You can't change what the book says. Many have tried and many have rewritten it, but they didn't change the original word. Forever, O Lord, is it settled in heaven. You still with me? You know what? In these options, listen. You know what the people want to know, Brother Brant, when they're going to do something? They want to know the risk involved. If I'm going to invest something, I want to know if there's any risk on my part. In Revelation 3:11, here's what he said. He said, "Hold fast and let no man take thy crown from thee." Hold fast and let no man take thy crown. Now he's talking to the church of Philadelphia there in that chapter. This bunch is saved. It's probably a picture
of the best bunch. But when he says, don't let him take your crown away from you, he's talking about you lost your reward. Is there any risk involved in this? Brother Junior quoted the verse this morning. There's a certainty within this available options once the account is opened. Number one, there's the seeking option. You don't have to do it, but you can. And Brother Junior quoted my verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Are the other things falling apart? Is the bank account not what it ought to be? And I'm not speaking about monetary things, though that is included, but I'm speaking to spiritual things. Is the spiritual bank account what it ought to be? Only if you are observing this option and you're seeking first the kingdom of God. You can't seek it second, third, almost first, before all the other things are added unto you, and until then, the account will not be what it ought to be. You know what he wants? He wants your best life for you right now. And there's difficulties involved in your best life. This easy, greasy stuff that a lot of folks preaching today, Brother Paul, that stuff don't exist. I can't find that in the Word of God. I found where he told Timothy, you better endure hardness as a good soldier. You better know that in the last days, perilous times is going to come. You better know that you're going to have to pray. You better know that if you live godly in Christ Jesus, this present world, you're going to suffer persecution. You better know it's not an easy, greasy road. You better know it was difficult for them. It's been difficult in the past. And I'm telling you, we've had it too easy, too long in America, in the church today. Amen. But that option's still available to seek. It's the seeking option. Asking, you shall receive. Seeking, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. Speaking to spiritual things. Are you making heavenly investments? Some good to go, preacher. I'm glad. Some, no doubt, some are. And no doubt, some aren't. Sowing to the flesh. You sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. A plus. There it is. We sow to the flesh, we'll reap corruption. We have the seeking option. Then we have that, I'll just use my verse. We have the sowing option. We sow it. If we sow it, we can reap it. That's not just in a negative context. Are you with me? That's not just in a negative context. You sow things, spiritual things, and spiritual things will come up. We have gone through a host of children in this church in my time here. Right at, I don't know, I should have figured the time up. I go by Dusty's age. He's 36, 20, about 28 years. And I've seen people, there's a picture of me holding Big Jay. Stand up, Jay. Stand up, son. Go ahead. Sit down. Hurry. There's a picture somewhere. He's about Ian's size, and I'm holding him. There's a lot come through, and they've gone on. But he's still here. There's a lot of them that's not. Look at old Drew, all bearded over. He looks like Charles Spurgeon. I remember when he was born. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's the sowing option, and we're sowing into this thing. I'm trying to sow into these young men and these young ladies. I'm trying to sow into the families. I'm trying to sow something, praise God. Trying to make some investments in that thing that's coming behind me, because this old thing's going down one day, and I need to make some heavenly investments. Those of you that have worked in the past and with youth and taught Sunday schools and you've come up and now somebody else is doing it, listen, they're sowing. They've sown. It's a sowing option. But you don't have to do it. Many won't do it. Many won't sow. Not to that. They'll see it, but they won't sow. Heavenly investments. The option is sowing. I thought of this morning, early. And I'm not trying to toot his horn. It's just what he done and what God done. The consequence of David making these investments is that down the road, for his servant David's sake, I remember this. I remember being told this. And I'll not say who told me, but I know it. When this thing was a basement, and it's just down here, it's where Pat and I got married. July will be 41 years ago. Wow. And when it was just a basement, someone told me that they came to a singing here and said that place was always a powerhouse. I couldn't explain it. He said they may not have been a lot of people there, but the power of God was in that place. But there were some times when it was kind of tight. And I hope he don't lose his reward over this, but I've heard about Brother Brant's writing out of his own checkbook, paying the light bill, because there wasn't enough tithes and offerings taken up. Let's see if he sowed anything. The children saved. To the best of my knowledge, the grandchildren saved. His son-in-law, the pastor of the church. He'd been the senior deacon for a long time. God's faithful in what you sow. You just sow it. You don't have to, listen, you don't have to choose that sowing option. Many don't sow in that way. They don't sow in that regard. Many come and go like the wind. That thing's a revolving door. If I had them all back that's been here since I was pastor in 19 years, it would be unbelievable what we'd have to do. But I don't know everyone's vineyard. I just know mine. And people come and people go. The old preacher said, drive the bus, son. They'll get on, they'll get off, and some's going to ride her all the way to the end. You just drive the bus. What are we doing, Brother Paul? You and I, Brother Brant, Brother Grover served with us on the deacon board years ago. I could name the others, a bunch of them. Richard's been with us a long time. We have tried to sow into this thing. And I may have missed the mark a time or two, but I didn't do it intentionally, and I don't want to sow anything that's outside that book. I want to sow that word. If I sow that word in you, listen, you're going to be okay. Praise God. Charlie's funeral a week ago Saturday. What a tragedy. Here's his family in church today. Listen, just keep on sowing. Briar, keep on sowing, son. Trying to put something in you today. Yesterday, a memorial service for Brother Burton. Listen, the children here, the family here. What are you doing? Trying to sow, trying to put something in there. Make a heavenly investment. Those are options. Not everyone do it. 2 Corinthians 9, he said, if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. I mean, it's as simple. One row of taters won't produce what two rows will. And you don't have to be very smart to figure that out. Heavenly investments. You still with me? I'm just nearly done. Too big a garden, Junior. But here's what you do. You begin with an account. And there's available things within that account. But here's what you want to do when it's all said and done. You want to achieve your objective. You're not going to invest in the first place if you're not looking for something at the end. those that sow into the heavenly investments, the end's better than the beginning. Watch this. Here's what everybody wants to hear. If they're going to invest something, they want to hear a guaranteed return. They don't want any risk. Listen, they just want a guaranteed return. And they want to put in a little and get out a lot. I'm afraid some are trying to draw on an empty account. What if you got to the end of this thing and the objective that you wanted to achieve, you missed it by a mile because he said, I don't know who you are. For in that day, many shall say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? We not cast out devils. In thy name done many marvelous works. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Never had an account. Wow. But that's not so with the children of God. It may not look like much to the world right now. But praise God. They ain't seen what our return's going to look like. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. Number one, here's what we have. Our reward is coming. He said, if you offer, what chapter is that in Matthew? 9? He said, if you offer a cup of cold water in my name, you'll not lose your reward. That's a guaranteed return. That means you got something coming for something so simple as doing something in the name of the Lord and for his benefit. I hope what we're doing is for the benefit of the King. I preach for free. You pay me to pastor. That's the way I look at it. Freely you have received, freely you shall give. But I don't want a pastor if I'm doing it for my benefit. I want him to let me do something else. You got to know. I don't know your vineyard. But you got to know it. And if you know it, the reward is sure. It's a guaranteed return. The help we've had on the things going on around here of late. Men and women working hard, sowing into something. Sowing into something for someone else's benefit. But in return, when we do that, and we're doing it for, oh glory, when we're doing it for someone else's benefit, God turns that thing around and he pours out the blessing on you. Hallelujah. That's just how he does it. So that not only, listen, is the achieved objective in our rewards, but it is in this, and I guess it's because we've been involved in so many funerals of late, but it's in the greatest of these is in the reunion. Came in, sat down the other day up on the stage. And I just looked around and I seen everybody that was gone. And I buried too many. And I could start on this side. I'm going to say something about this section here. I could start on this side and I could start naming people. And I seen them sitting here, but they're not here. And I come around to over in here, and I seen them in this place, and they're not here. And I seen those that sit here in this aisle, and I knew where they'd be. I got to this section over here. Now, everybody in the church is going to want to sit over here. But I got to this section here, and I thought, you know what? There's not many gone out of this section. Pretty much, And they left on their own accord. They, I've done something to make them mad, and they just flew the coop. I don't know, but they're not here anymore. But I've not held too many funerals out of, but I'm not true for the other three. I couldn't help but think this, Jimmy. Hey, you know what that says? We worked our way over. I thought this, Gordon. I thought, well, it seems like only yesterday they left. And tomorrow will be the day that we're reunited. And I love this verse. And them that sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him. He's going to bring them with him. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Who's that? That's the body of those that he's bringing with him. Here comes the body. Here comes the soul. Reunited. And when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Reunited in the presence of Almighty God. Christ the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Glorified like him forever. And there we are. But then we which are alive and remain. I used to think, Brother Richard, that the Lord would come for sure before I was 50 years old. I'm not too far away from 60. And though it's a looking pretty bad right now, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I think it's got to get a lot worse. How can it get much worse, preacher? Oh, it can get worse. See, there's still a few that their hearts and their minds and their thoughts isn't evil continually. But it was that way in the days of Noah. There was a, when it got down to a handful. Say if God tarries another 10 years. With what we've seen develop in the last five in these United States of America, Brother Paul, I can't believe what we've seen occur in our land. How bad will it be? It'll be bad. What's the opportunity between now and then? Great. To do what? Open accounts. Let them start making some investments. Because there's a guaranteed return at the end of this thing. Challenge them on their objective. What's yours? What's your objective? Did you come today hoping you get a real good blessing out of this and it's not worked out that way? What's the objective? Have you ever had an account opened with the Lord Jesus Christ? You ever trusted him as Savior? It's not a big thing. I mean, it's not a hard thing. It's a big thing. It's not a hard thing. It's just simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and then professing him. That's why we ask people to come forward. Brother Demphis, he said, Paul said it like this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. Deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. It's not a hard thing. You get broken up, it's not a big thing to come to this altar and kneel down here. What's your objective? Have you fulfilled that thing? Verena, come to the piano for me. The only way the reunion occurs with those that died in Christ is if we're ready to meet him. If you're not sowing into the spiritual things, not every child that's been raised in this church has quit. There's some still in the fight. Way to go, guys. Now, they've been a lot quit. But there's some still in there. They're never making deposits in that account. They don't know it. Play soft for me, Verena.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.